You guys remember where we've been in 1 Peter? All right, there's a start. What chapter have we been in? Four. Okay, I heard four. What did we talk about last week? What did Rob talk about last week? Jesus, very good. That is a great answer. Suffering for what? Okay, is a blessing. What else? That's awesome. That is there. That was in there. What else? There's one other like main thing that he hit on.
Pagans.
Okay, what are they going to treat us? How are they going to treat us? Badly. Oh, I thought you were like, nah. But you said bad. Okay. Yeah, we talked about how people that are of the world are going to think that we're crazy because we're Christians and we're not going to hang out, we're not going to party with them, we're not going to do their crazy stuff. They're going to be like, oh, you're a loser. And that just gives us an awesome opportunity to share the gospel. And it kind of goes with that theme of whole... Wow, there's a whistle I just heard. It's probably a phone, which isn't a big deal, but a reminder to turn off your phones. If that was your phone, don't be embarrassed because I'm calling you out, because I'm not calling you out because I just thought that was a really sweet ringtone. So... Anyways, we've been talking about just what holiness looks like in our lives, how we can show this love to other people, this godly love, and I'm going to hit on that more tonight. So we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to continue with verses 7 through 11. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If you don't, it's on the screen, and you can read it off of there because it's bigger text than in my Bible. Okay. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do so as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Okay, let's pray one more time real quick before we get started, because I'm a sinful, flawed human being that isn't capable of doing this, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you for this time we could come together, that we just live here in a country that we can... just meet together and talk about you without being persecuted. I just thank you for bringing these students here tonight. God, I pray that you would speak through me, that it would be all your words, that nothing about me would be up here, but only you would flow through me. God, I just pray that we would grow closer to you every day, and that these words that I'm speaking to these guys not only affect my life, but affect theirs too. I just pray that you would bless these students, that they would be a light to their schools, to their friends, to their family. We love you. Thank you for your son. In his name we pray. Amen. So, might have to take a swig of water every now and then because my throat gets a little, you know, whatever it gets. But we're going to start out with verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. We just ended verses 5 and 6. Of this same chapter, and it was talking about the end times. I was talking about the judgments that, the judgment that's going to come for people who are not saved, so on and so forth. It's going to talk about those pagans that Manny referred to, and the judgment that they receive if they aren't saved. And this is the idea of what we call Christian eschatology, which is basically the study of the end times. Everything that's happened after the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ is eschatology. So if you ever hear somebody use a big word like that, and you're like, what are they saying? I don't understand. There you go. Trying to, dumb it down for myself. So I figured I'd tell you guys too. But the end of all things is near. Now this isn't used to scare you. You guys shouldn't be like, oh my goodness, like the end is near. Like I got to go hug my grandma. I got to give my dog one more treat, and I got to go tell that girl or guy that I love them, because if I die without telling them, my life is going to be over. Get it? Your life's already over. Matt's so funny. So, but here's the deal. This isn't to scare you. The end of all things is near. That's not used to scare you. Think of it more so as an encouragement. It should encourage you. Man, the end is near. If we thought with our minds that the end is near, if we live that way, if we use that as a reminder instead of a discouragement, we were like, wow, we need to live a godly, we need to live a holy life, we need to love people because the end is near. It's that kingdom focus that you might have heard me say before. I have an analogy for you. You see people on the side of the road often, right? Sometimes people are asking for money. Sometimes they're asking for food. And then sometimes you see the crazy old short lady with the messed up back and the cane waving the sign that says, "The end is near, repent," and all that stuff. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Wow, 3% of you have seen that sign. Okay. Now, here's the deal. A lot of times you're like, man, that person's crazy, and you like swerve over and honk at them and, you know, try and run them off the road. Wait, maybe that's just me, but no, I'm just kidding. But a lot of times we have a negative look. Even as Christians, we look down upon people. They're like, they're crazy Christians. Like, you know, stay away. And we think they're crazy. But here's the deal. Next time you see that, you see somebody saying the end is near, don't think that they're a crazy person that's trying to predict the end times like that dude did last year during the summer, and it actually didn't happen. Yeah, major fail. 2012 is not going to be the end of times. I'm sorry. Well, I mean, it could be. God could do it if he wanted to, but I just don't think it's going to happen. But it could happen. Anyways, that's not for us to decide. When you see somebody say with a big old sign, the end is near, or repent, whatever, use that as a reminder. Like, hey, I really need to live my life. I need to show love to people like the end is near. Like, this is my last day to show Christ to this person that I know is unsaved, that my family members that I know are unsaved. There's this dude, he's pretty smart. His name's Thomas Schreiner. He wrote a commentary that I was reading. And this is what he says about living with the end in mind. He says, the knowledge that believers are sojourners and exiles whose time is short should galvanize them to make their lives count. Ooh, a couple big words. What are you going to do about it? Who knows what galvanize is? Yes, what is galvanize?
Electrify or cause to come to life in a very ferocious manner.
Okay, that's like the literary definition of galvanize, which is good. Oh, okay, you made it up. Sweet. Who knows what like real galvanization is? Okay, it's to coat it. It's not necessarily always to make it harder. Does anyone know? Where's my boy Joe Cox in the back? You know what galvanized metal is, right?
Yeah.
You use it at the place you work, right? Here's the deal. Galvanized steel is not actually steel. It is galvanized steel. Mmm, shocker. Here's what galvanization is, huh?
Is it a blend?
Is it what?
A blend.
A blend. Yeah, it's a blend.
Okay.
Here's the deal. Galvanization. This is why we galvanize things. Metal. You take a big metal baseball bat that you beat your brother or sister over the head with. You take it outside. You set it in the sun. And it gets all hot in the sun. And then rain comes down out of the sky. And then you walk back outside and you grab it and you go, oh, it's kind of rusty. Steel rust. That's like natural. It's got iron in it. Iron rusts. So on and so forth. You know what I'm saying? Oxidizes. Whoever said that? You're smart, girl. Anyways, so here's the deal. If you mix zinc with steel in a process called galvanization, it causes it not to corrode as much. The zinc creates this outer layer over top of it, but it also doesn't just create a layer over top of it. It actually binds with the steel. It becomes its own new, like, you know, alloy. There's your chemistry. I almost said geometry. There's your chemistry term. It becomes a new alloy. Galvanized steel and steel are two completely different things. So now you guys kind of understand the galvanization process, and then you just heard the quote about galvanize themselves. So let me read it one more time. The knowledge that believers are sojourners and exiles whose time is short should galvanize them to make their lives count. And basically this is what it's saying. We should let these truths about the end being near, showing people love, living holiness, we should let those truths galvanize in our lives. Not only should they protect us from the corrosion of the world, but they should bind to who we are as a person. The truth should be a part of us and who we are, and not just something that we do every once in a while. You guys know who Martin Luther is? Not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther. Can I get a whoop whoop? Yep, 95 thesis. All right. Here's the deal. You guys like that? The whoop whoop? Whoop whoop? Whoop whoop? Whatever. I entertain people with noises. Anyways, this is what somebody said. They're like, Martin Luther, here's the deal, dude. Like, you're saying that the end, like, let's say, for instance, tomorrow. Like, tomorrow is your last day. Better yet, today is your last day on earth to live. Like, what are you going to do? He took a water break. And then he said, I would plant a tree and pay my taxes. That's literally what he said. I've got the quote right here. Somebody said, what would you do if today was your last day? He's like, I'd plant a tree and pay my taxes. Your last day on earth to do something for God, and you're going to go plant a tree and pay your taxes. All right. I might could go with the taxes thing, because it says, give unto Caesar, which is Caesar's, and our government's really good at taking what's theirs. And I shouldn't have said that. Wiretapping. No, I'm just kidding. But, okay, so maybe I could do with that, but the plant and the tree thing, okay? Where does that come from? There's nowhere in the Bible that says, thou must go plant a tree in the valley, and it must grow, and you must eat of its fruit and multiply people. No, there's nowhere in the Bible says, go plant a tree, okay? So I'm a little lost in that. But this is the deal. Martin Luther lived his life every day, normal day to him. A normal day might have been planting something in his garden because he was a monk. And maybe it was paying his taxes because they paid a lot more taxes back then than we do now. But this is what he was saying. I'm going to live today, if this is the last day on earth, I'm going to live today just like I did yesterday. It's going to just be a normal, everyday, average day. And yesterday was just like the day before that. The day before that was like the day before that, all the way back to his birth or whatever. And this is what he was saying. He wasn't saying that he was going to go out with a big bang and do something awesome for Christ. The thing is, like, Martin Luther lived his life with an evangelical lifestyle. He lived his life like every day was his last day. So it would be a normal day for him to go plant a tree, to go pay his taxes. His normal everyday life was sharing the gospel with people. He was saying, I'm not going to do anything different because I'm already living like I'm supposed to. And it wasn't an arrogant thing, but he's saying, I'm not going to do anything different because that's what God has called me and you to do. So in your schools, in your homes, with your unsafe friends, act as if today, tomorrow, the next day, the day after that, the day after that, is your very last day to share the love of Christ with them. Act like every day that you have here on earth is your very last day, and you got to make the most of it. Don't worry about tomorrow. I could go on with that. But let me jump down to the next section, checking my notes to make sure I didn't skip over anything. Nope. This next part talks about being clear-minded, sober-minded. Let me reread it for you guys. The end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. It's not a big deal, guys. Just let it go. This isn't saying that being clear-minded and self-control gives you the ability to pray. What this is saying is this sober mind that Rob talked about last week and maybe a little bit the week before, this sober mind, this clear mind is the idea. It doesn't give you the ability to pray, but having this clear mind is going to drive you to pray. It's going to make you want to pray, because when you see the brokenness of this world, when you see the sinfulness, when you see it around you with your eyes, with your clear mind, you're going to be like, wow, like, God needs to do a work here, and it's going to cause you to pray. Because you read it and it says, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Again, it's not the ability of prayer. It's saying if you have that mindset, it's going to cause you to want to pray. And it should cause us to live this constant prayer. That was something that kind of hit me because I know that I don't do that. I don't live like a life of constant prayer and constantly seeking God's will. So that was kind of a slap to my own face when I was like studying this to teach you guys. Verse 8, awesome, awesome verse. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Let me reread it for emphasis. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. This realization of the end times coming soon shouldn't only cause us and drive us to want to pray, but it should also drive us to show this love to these people continually over and over again. And the love that they use here is agape. I'm sure a lot of you guys know what that is. Somebody want to explain agape for somebody that might not know? Agape is like the true, most biblical, Christ-like love.
Unconditional.
And a lot of times in the New Testament, when the writers will write to the people, it'll say like phileo, and it's talking about a brotherly love. But here Peter uses the word agape. And this love, agape love, like she was saying, is this love that's always forgiving, it's never conditional, it's always in full supply, and it never runs out. This is the same love that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Do you show that love, and do I show that love? And it's not an easy task. Matthew 24:12 says this, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But with Christ, everything is possible. And you guys can love that agape through Him only. It's nothing that you can do. Verses 9 through 11 kind of hinge upon what verse 8 says. This love that occurs in verse 8 is going to show itself naturally through these things that follow in verses 9 through 11. So let me hit on those. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. When God has called you to live this agape lifestyle, this radical love that we're not used to, our flesh is going to get in the way. Like I said, we're sinful, flawed beings, and our flesh naturally kind of gets in the way of things. It has a tendency to do that. We might get tired of being nice. We might get tired of showing love. We also have to realize people are probably going to try and take advantage of us. God calls us to still love them, and He calls us to do it without grumbling, without complaining. Philippians chapter 2, 14 through 16 says this, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Let me jump down to verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. The gifts talked about here aren't physical gifts. This isn't saying go use your sports talents, go use your educational gifts, go use your financial gifts, whatever physical gifts, go use those. Which I'm not saying don't do that, because that's an awesome thing. But this is specifically talking about spiritual gifts, not physical gifts. And I'll hit on that a little bit. But we must realize that these gifts aren't things that naturally come from us. These are gifts from God. God has given these spiritual gifts to us to bless others. It's nothing that we were born with. We were born with a sin nature. We weren't born in perfection. We weren't born with holiness. And you have to realize after salvation, God has granted these spiritual gifts, and He's given us all at least one spiritual gift. If you've been saved, if you call upon the name of Christ, He gives you at least one spiritual gift. And these are to benefit and bless others. This isn't to benefit ourselves. That's the difference between a physical and a spiritual gift. A physical gift can bless others. A lot of times it does. You see it a lot of times. Your friends will, you know, use something physical to bless you. But you can also bless yourself with your spiritual gifts, with your talents, with your abilities. Your spiritual gifts are different. Your spiritual gifts are intended to bless others. That's the whole reason God gives it to you, so that you can benefit the body and not just yourself. And that's the difference between the two. Physical gifts you can give to others, but you can also waste them on yourself. Spiritual gifts are to benefit the body of Christ. Same dude, Schreiner, says this. Spiritual gifts are not fundamentally... Yeah, I said that right. Spiritual gifts are not fundamentally a privilege, but a responsibility, a call to be faithful to what God has bestowed. This is the idea of stewardship that we've talked about before. You guys have probably heard it over and over again, but it's just being faithful stewards of what God has given us. The same thing goes with spiritual gifts. If He's given you a spiritual gift, you have to be a good steward of it. That means not wasting it, not using it for your own gain, for your own benefits, but using it to benefit Him and to benefit the body. Let's jump down to verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And amen. I'm out of water. That's not good. Just kidding. I'll make it. Peter takes these gifts now that we've been talking about in verse 10, and he splits them into two different sections. He's talking about speaking gifts, and he's talking about service. There's a bunch of different spiritual gifts that are listed in the New Testament. But if you say speaking gifts and service gifts, they kind of cover all of them. It's like a general category. Paul talks about these in Romans and 1 Corinthians. Some of you may be like, spiritual gifts, yeah, I know what you're talking about, like, I know what mine are, but a lot of you may be like, man, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. And I know at y'all's age, I don't know if I knew what my spiritual gifts are. I'd been saved for a while, But I don't know if I ever knew what God had given to me is a gift spiritually to bless others. And if that's true, I encourage you to pray and to seek God, to dig into the Word and find out what are your spiritual gifts. Like I said, He's given at least one to everybody that's saved. Some may have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. Some of you guys might just have one, and that's not because He gives others more than... It's He gives you what He wants you to use. Find out what yours is. If you guys want to do a little bit deeper study, I mean, we could go into spiritual gifts and do like a whole message series on spiritual gifts and go over it. But you guys can go and do that for yourselves. If you guys go to Romans chapter 12, you can also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, and it goes over a lot of spiritual gifts. There's a couple other different places in the Bible, but those hit a lot of the major ones. Find out what yours is. Use it to serve the body. Verse 11 shows our total dependence on God to enable our spiritual gifts. When it says speaking the words of God, like those aren't words that we can come up with on our own. It's God giving us the words to speak. And when it talks about service, serving others, it's not in our own power. It says it's the power that God has given us. It just shows our total dependence on God. We can't do this on our own. We can't serve on our own. And we can't speak on our own as a spiritual gift without God doing it. And in verse 11, we kind of sum up everything we've been talking about from the beginning of chapter 1 in 1 Peter all the way to where we're at in chapter 4. Everything that we've been talking about gets summed up to this point, and it closes out right here in verse 11. So that in all things God may be praised. And that praise is through Jesus Christ. It's not anything we can do in our own power. It's only through Jesus. And then it ends with the doxology, which is basically like you'll see it written in your Bible a lot of times, especially in the letters in the New Testament. And basically that's just it's either like a sung praise or a written praise that kind of ends or closes something. So now you guys know what that is, too, in case you see it written. And you're like, what is that? Now you know. But it says this: to Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So how do you guys apply this to your life? Go out and love people. Like verse 8 says, I'm going to read it to you again. Above all, love each other deeply. Or you say this, above all, agape each other deeply, because agape covers a multitude of sins. Secondly, use your spiritual gifts to bless the body of Christ. Not for your own benefit, but for others' benefits. I'm not talking about physical gifts, I'm talking about spiritual gifts. Third thing, I'm preaching to myself here, not just you guys. Stop being so self-consumed. This whole chapter is about serving others, blessing others. Spiritual gifts hits on that again. Don't be so self-consumed. Don't get so caught up in yourself that, you know, tomorrow, you know, if tomorrow was your last day, you wouldn't really care. You know, stop being so self-consumed. Live every day as if it was your last day. And you guys can hold me accountable to that. You know, we're talking about you know, we were talking about God giving us the power and God giving us the words. I wish the words that came out of my mouth were always words of God. And those of you guys that know me close, that's not the case. And so I apologize. And sometimes you guys catch me and I'm just like, wow, I'm an idiot. And that's something I got to work on. And we got to encourage each other. We got to build each other up. We got to use our spiritual gifts and encourage each other and help each other out. The final thing is just this: be holy. Live a life worth pleasing Christ. Live a life of holiness so that people see you. They're like, man, there's just something different about that kid. I don't know what it is, but I really want to know. And it just gives you gospel opportunities. Just go out and love. Go out and show agape. An unconditional, never-ending, never-failing, always there, never running out of supply love. Same love that Christ showed on the cross. And a lot of you guys... this might be your first time here, might be your 110th time here, you know, might be your second, third, fourth, fifth. You guys might not know like what I'm talking about. You might not know who Christ is. You might not know, some of you that are saved, like, man, what is my spiritual gift? Like I said, there's ways of you finding that out. But I just encourage you guys, the leaders are here. We show up here every Wednesday, most of us. We get here any chance we can. And it's not just to hang out with you guys, even though it's fun to hang out with kids. you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years younger than us, which, I mean, you guys are fun to hang out with, especially, you. I mean, if I'm being honest, on Wednesday nights, the middle schoolers are a little bit funner to hang out with because they're not, like, too cool to get sweaty and play basketball, and I'm not very good at basketball, so it's also fun to play them because I'm a little taller than them and I stink. So, but, I mean, we don't just show up to be here and, you know, have a little party and be a club. Like, we're here to share the love of Christ with you guys. If you guys have questions, please, please, please talk to some of the leaders. Talk to Rob. You know, talk to your fire station leader, whatever. We don't want you leaving here without knowing who Christ is and what His love looks like. So I encourage you guys, know what your spiritual gifts are, show each other love, and just build each other up and love each other. So let's pray real quick, and then we'll roll bounce. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time to be here, and we just thank You for Your Word that You've given us that we can read and study and learn more about who You are, who Your nature is. God, I thank You for spiritual gifts that we can bless others in the body of Christ with these spiritual gifts, God. I just thank You for what You've done. I pray that these students would have an eternal focus, an eternal mindset, a kingdom focus. That they would live every day like it was their last day to share the love of Christ with somebody. And I know a lot of these kids are doing it. I can see it, and it is such a blessing to see. And it's an encouragement. And I don't do that in my own life all the time, God. And I just pray that this would be more and more true to myself. More and more true to these students, that we would live every day like it was our last day to share the love of Christ with somebody. Please help these students understand and show agape. We love You so much. Thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross. In His name we pray. Amen.